tonight.
Man, thank you guys for having us. I'm excited. You know, I'm always bleeding purple and gold proudly. You know, and some of it may be a little more emotionally said than logically, but no, man, I'm great. Thank you guys for having me on the show tonight, man.
Well, Braden, hey, this is Todd. I want to especially thank you for coming on, because last week I was sitting down writing my column, which I was basically criticizing Brian Kelly continuing to make poor decisions every year that costs the team, whether it's special teams his first year, defense his second year, now offense heading into this year. And then I come across your podcast with a message to LSU football. Can you give us a little insight as to what you were saying in that podcast? I'd rather you do it than me do it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, just a quick summary, man, as an alumni and somebody who's bled the purple and gold and poured his blood, sweat and tears into the program. Man, when I watch LSU, it's almost painful to watch. Just because of the product I'm seeing. When I see LSU, man, it's hard. I don't see any fight. I don't see a team that wants to go out and dominate people. And don't get me wrong, right? The NIL and everything has the playing field leveled right now more than it ever has been. I get that. But just the thought of LSU and what I said in my video, and I stated that when people see LSU on the schedule now, it isn't like, whoa, guys, we have LSU. Let's lock in this week. It's, we got LSU. You know, and that's one of the biggest things that kind of bugs me now, and it bugs other teammates, and I won't go into depth because, you know, those guys wish to keep their opinions private, and you know, definitely so, and we still talk in our group chats from our 2019 season, but those guys are disappointed as well. You know, the product we see Saturdays is just, it's terrible. It's sometimes it's unwatchable when you have a premier defense with what Baker's been doing, and then you go on offense and you lay an egg like they have been doing. And I said the signs have been there. They barely put up 20 points against Louisiana Tech. DJ Lagway throws 5 interceptions. They play Florida at home and they only put up 20 points. And, you know, you continually see the answers, right? You know, and I'd be a fool to sit here as a head coach and be like, something happens to me the first time. Okay, cool. But in the words of the great Mike Tomlin, 2 is a pattern, and it's been happening more than twice, you know. And so that's kind of the biggest message I had, was just there's no identity when I watch LSU football. I just don't see no fight. I just see a team that is paid for rather than built up, and that's sad because that's the way the college ranks are nowadays.
Do you think that can be corrected? I mean, like I was just telling Glenn last segment, you know, watching the Ole Miss game, that was the most horrifying thing to me watching the Ole Miss game, was the fact that they were beaten on both sides of the line of scrimmage physically most of the game. And that's not an LSU team.
No, it's, you know, it's sad because if you guys remember in 2017, we lost to Troy. That was one of the lowest of the low moments in LSU history. On homecoming night, you're paying a team 1.2 or whatever we paid Troy to come in, and we're paying them to essentially put the beat down on them. And, you know, we lost. And so after that game, I remember Duke Riley, he came to the facility that next week, and it wasn't on no buddy-buddy friendship, big bro stuff. It was a ripping. And I won't go into the explicit words he shared with us, but just know it wasn't suitable for kids and parents to hear what he had told us. But part of that was the culture, right? The coaches didn't need to tell us what was missing. It was passed down by the guys that played before us, and we just knew we didn't want to disappoint them. We knew the product that was being put out on a weekly basis, and we knew what we had to fix. When I watch LSU against Ole Miss, yeah, the score seems closer than it is, but if you actually watch the game, Ole Miss dominated for a lot of that game. If Ole Miss doesn't fumble on that receiver with the play, you know, weeks recovered, Ole Miss goes up 2 scores easy coming into halftime, like, things like that, you know what I mean? Like, they controlled the game, they dominated the game, the defense was out there for too many snaps. Is it something you can fix? No, because these are things you fix in the months of January up until July. You can't fix these things in the season.
So this $18 million spent on this roster this year and this great defense from a, you know, NFL talent perspective, because there's probably several NFL players on that defense, is basically going to be wasted this year, more than likely.
More than likely, and a lot of people didn't like what I had to say, because I said on my video, I said that with LSU's schedule coming up, they play South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas A&M. To me, the only game that is possibly a win is South Carolina this week. Outside of that game, and I hope they prove me wrong, and I hope this gets thrown back at my face, but I don't see LSU making it past 7-8 wins this year. And that's just culture. That's just identity. It's painful to watch, and I sound like a broke record saying it, but when you look at teams like Alabama, new coaching staff, DeBoer, but you just see the talent. They play hard. Like, the identity is still Alabama, right? Don't get me wrong. They lost to a Florida State team in week one. They went out, dominated Georgia. They went out last week, dominated a 5-0 Vanderbilt team. Like, the identity is still there. It doesn't matter who's coaching. They have playmakers on offense. They play gritty on defense. These are things you expect to see LSU, and especially in year three under Brian Kelly. Because year three under Ed Orgeron, we went 15-0 and won the national championship.
It's actually year four under Brian Kelly.
Yeah, but I think he was talking about...
Oh, I hear you.
Year four.
Right. I hear
year
you.
Four. Sorry. Yeah.
Hey.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. We're talking to Braden Fehoko here on Tiger Rag Radio. Aloha, Braden. I really enjoyed covering you in the 2019 season. I wanted to ask you, you were released in August by the Steelers. You've had some injury issues. Have you decided to finish your NFL career, or are you going to try again?
You know, honestly, 6 years in, and I just had this talk with my wife the other, maybe 2 weeks ago. Man, at this point in my career, my body's been beat up. I've had maybe two or three calls within the last month or so to go out and play with teams and sign with teams. But
yeah,
I think more so physically, my body isn't in the shape it needs to be in to play football right now. And so I wanted just to take a step back and, you know, focus on my family, focus on my health, and just kind of see what I wanted to do. And I told my wife, unless I was 100%, I'd go do it. And right now, just in the state of where I am as a football player, as an athlete, I'm not in that right state. I'm not healthy enough to go out and play. And so I put my focus into the media side and building my brand and trying to grow that part of my game.
Well, from interviewing you, you got some natural talent for the media business. Where are you guys living now?
I'm in Texas right now, and we stay here. I bought a house here. I have a property here. I have a property in Arizona. Looking to buy one as a rental in Baton Rouge for a college kid, but that's to be determined, just because I know what my life was like in college, and so don't know if I want to take that risk of having a rental out there in Baton Rouge.
Braden, if you were a defensive lineman, obviously. You are a defensive lineman, were a defensive lineman. The biggest concern with LSU right now from an overall standpoint is that offensive line and is that running game. Mm-hmm. What do you see from the perspective of a nose tackle as the biggest problem with LSU's offensive line and their running game?
Man, I just see no physicality. I don't see guys just trying to finish guys after the whistle. And I get it, right? You're not going to break every run that's called for 20 yards and explosive carries. But when I watch LSU, man, I just want to see a team that just, like, go bury somebody 5 yards down the field after the whistle. If you watch 2019, man, go watch Damian Lewis's tape. You know, just watch what Damian Lewis was doing. Watch what Adrian McGee was doing against Vanderbilt when guys came on a looping twist and he de-cleated guys. You know what I'm saying? Like,
wow.
That's just that's the mentality that you just – if a play doesn't work out, cool. Like, not every play is going to be perfect, but my goodness, go out and kill somebody. Not literally and figuratively, but go put your will against somebody. This is a grown man's football. You play for LSU. There's a tiger decal on the side of your helmet. You know, Lord forbid you go out there and try to impose your will, because that's what LSU standard's all about. And that's just what I see when I see the O-line. It's just – it's too pretty. It's too much
finesse.
Just guys, it's just, man, it's a lot of guys that are afraid to get their hands dirty. And it pains me, because Brian Kelly is an offensive line guy. I mean, you look at the offensive line he's been able to produce throughout his years at Notre Dame, like, I'd expect something to click at LSU, but it hasn't, and the product doesn't look good.
Do you think he's responsible for that?
100%. He's responsible for the product that's on the field, whether it's good, whether it's bad. If LSU was sitting here winning, we'd point the finger to Brian Kelly and say Brian Kelly is solely responsible for winning. But you know, when the product is bad and you know the players aren't performing, the first person we're going to look at is the head coach, the guy who puts the pieces to the puzzle together.
And you know, Braden, it's amazing because four starters from that offensive line last year got drafted into the NFL, and they couldn't run the ball well last year.
Yes, and that you know what that tells me? That's just talent. That's just guys having the pure skill and will to just be talented. Now, from a coaching perspective, if you're not able to put those pieces together and build the Mona Lisa or build the Picasso, then my goodness, we need to find somebody who can do it, because we did it with lesser talent in 2019, but my goodness, we painted a pretty good Picasso, if you ask me.
I would agree.
It's interesting though. When I think of the 2019 team, I think of one of the most talented teams in college football history. And you're saying this team, in your opinion, has more talent than you guys had?
No, I think he was saying the offensive line last year may have had more talent than the 19 offensive line.
Yeah,
100%. I mean, Will Campbell was he the third guy off the board this year?
Fourth guy.
Miles Frazier got drafted. Who else got drafted? There was two other guys I'm missing. Sorry if I botched them. That got drafted from last year's team on the offensive line. But, I mean, 100% from a talent perspective, these guys were, I mean, light years more talented than what we had in 2019.
Do you have any plans to go back and try and fire up this team?
I'd like to. I kind of got ridiculed about it. One of my buddies, he's a really close friend of mine. He's an LSU booster. I won't release his name, but he had sent me, funny enough, a forum post on Tiger Droppings about what I had said, about my message to LSU football. And it was about how the culture at LSU between guys coming back and whatnot. And so in my video, and I wanted to address this publicly because people were just being like, you know, Braden doesn't know nothing. Braden is, you know, what he's saying right now is just foolish. And I'm like, okay. So what I had said in the video was the first year Brian Kelly got there, when guys technically would come back to work out at LSU in the off season from the months of January up until June, July, when they're getting ready for training camp in the NFL, they would come and work out with us, the Devon Godshaws, the Arden Keys, the Kendall Beckwith, you know, the Duke Rileys, the Jamal Adams, all these guys would come back, right? That was the standard. When Brian Kelly first got there, he fired Tommy Moffitt, all these good people there. There was, whenever guys wanted to go back and work out, they would go into the weight room and they were excused out. And they said, you have to schedule a time to come in here. You can't be working out when the guys are working out in here. And they did everything new. They wanted a new structure in there, and that was Brian Kelly's word. And that's what I wanted to say. Now, people were saying that, well, there's guys that show up to the games every weekend. Well, that's different. Guys have always been showing up to the game. But how you build a culture with the older guys about coming back, you do that from the months of January up until June and July when they're around the pro guys, when they're around the guys that have put their blood, sweat, and tears. That's what I wanted to address. It wasn't the guys showing up on their bye weeks throughout the NFL years to come and watch the games. It was coming back and grinding and putting your blood, sweat, and tears with the young pups that are going through it right now.
Braden, we got to go on that. No, great hearing your voice, man. We wish you the best of luck. Best wishes to you and your family.
Appreciate you. Thank you, guys.
Former LSU Tiger national champion Tiger Braden Fajoco will be back after this here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.